If you've been coming to the channel, if you've been paying attention, we've been bitching and moaning on a near daily basis about DEI being forced and shoehorned into everything as of late. But my God, I just saw a banger interview by a channel called Andrew Says. I'm going to leave a link in the description, but we're going to react to some parts of this because he has a former composer of some of the Halo games, Marty O'Donnell, on here, literally exposing Microsoft for pushing woke changes in the Halo series because they were in fear of being labeled Islamophobic back in 2002, 2003. He gives his opinion on DEI and everything. This is just a great listen to because, I mean, if you think about everything about how far consulting firms like Sweet Baby Inc. are just trying to inject all the wokeness into, like, everything that we consume, you could see that it started way back then with small little things like not offending certain religions, and now it's full-blown. You can't just offend any fucking little thing without them squeaking out loud and trying to cancel your video game, as we've seen with like Black Myth Wukong as of late being labeled sexist. So without any further ado, this is going to be a long video. I hope you guys have a snack and a drink. I got my Diet Coke here. We're going to talk about this because Microsoft caved in to wokeness big time. So let's go ahead and watch, guys. This is fucking nuts. This interview, which I will link down below in the description, is really interesting. Again, the gentleman being interviewed was a composer for the Halo series, and he talks about Microsoft caving in as early as Halo 2 to woke cancel culture because they were afraid of Islamophobia. We didn't see too much as far as DEI and anything like that goes back in the day, but it's really interesting to see, I guess, a perspective of somebody who's seen it slowly inject in the gaming industry. So let's begin.
Brothers Games has started a program, a leadership program for women and non-binary people. This comes right after they lost $200 million on a Suicide Squad video game that they hired a DEI consultancy firm to write characters for.
Oh, real quick, he's talking about Suicide Squad, which lost $200 million freaking dollars, but somehow Warner Brothers Games makes like a, I guess, some kind of program for women and non-binary people that work there. How do they have the money to fund and make that when they lost $200 million? It's like they're more focused on making DEI programs and diversity injection and all this nonsense that we bitch about every day instead of making good video games. They could have used that money to make that women and non-binary program to make Suicide Squad a good game. So instead, what he's saying is exactly true.
That Ivy is an
putting their funds in the wrong place.
Girl, for example, we'll leave it at that. But they create these characters for people and they create narratives for people. I've spoken to some people in the industry about this before. When you were involved in games, was this on anybody's mind? Was the amount of diversity, the amount of transgender characters in games, was this ever certain? A topic that anybody thought they should worry about?
So this is a really good question because, again, Marty O'Donnell was working on the Halo series back in the day. So you got to think early 2000s DEI. I don't remember hearing much about that. I don't think anybody really gave a shit about it as much as we see progressive wokies talk about it today. So let's check this out. This is a really interesting answer that he has right here.
You know, no, it wasn't. And the current, you know, go woke, go broke. We just keep seeing that happen over and over again. When DEI is not DEI, it is not diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is code word for essentially a Marxist, worldview of power structures. And, you know, there's so many catchwords that are being injected into the conversation. Colin,
I mean, not to interrupt his intelligent response, but DEI efforts are definitely Marxist. They claim that it's for inclusion and tolerance and, you know, for people of all kinds. But what it really is just a huge echo chamber. And we bitch about this daily because it is infecting everything from movies, TV, music, especially video games, have we seen the last few months. Like, this has been the worst year I've ever can think of as far as video games go, where DEI is infecting every single thing that we're touching into, and it's sickening.
Colonization, decolonization, all of these kinds of things. It is so far from what, especially in the entertainment business, what people should be worried about. Are you going to tell a good story? Are you going to make a good game? Are you going to do something that's compelling?
Exactly. Instead of making good video games, like WB Games, instead of making Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League a great game, they're more worried about injecting DEI. Instead of telling good stories, making good characters, it's pathetic to where their definition of having a good character is based off them being gay or being a person of color instead of just being a good character. Oh, it's because they want characters to be relatable. Fuck off. Again, like I said before, how narcissist is it to have to be like, oh, I have to see myself represented in it? Like, get over it, okay? That's not true diversity. That's you wanting to make things about yourself. And all these people that cosplay as video game developers, video game journalists, they claim that the people bitching about wokeness are the ones that are miserable and unhappy because they want things to be for them. Video games is for everybody. But guess what? The woke people don't want video games to be for everybody. They think they do, but they really don't. They don't speak for the majority.
Emotionally for people, that's fun for people. That's what creators should be concerned about.
Exactly. Create now, to make fun.
You know, we've had our share of, I guess I would have to say, diverse characters, but it's like, it wasn't because we needed to make sure there was a certain percentage of, you know, fill in the blank.
Exactly. The whole reason why things like Sweet Baby Ink exist is to fill in a blank, to check a box off of a checklist. Gay character, check. Person of color, check. That's all it is now. It's filling in a blank instead of actually making characters good, to just make good characters. It's so cringe.
It was because these were like either great actors or this was going to be a great character. So it was never any part of what our discussions were about. Like, let's make sure we fill in the blanks for all of the, you know, so the game characters reflect perfectly the makeup of society.
And what's funny is DEI talks about video game characters reflecting perfectly of what real society is. But guess what? They are far from that. You see the characters that they make now? They're all no personality, very gray, not even human. Like, the eyes are dead. The characters just look fucking weird. Look what they did to Jean Grey in the upcoming Wolverine game or the Pokemon Go avatar updates. They're all ugly. They're uglifying characters. How is that making things relatable? Are literally woke video game developers and wokies like Sweet Baby Ink, are they saying that we're all ugly? Is that what makes you relatable? As if you're ugly?
That is just such a creatively dampening way of approaching things, which is why I think the fans are rejecting. The fans don't necessarily reject movies or games because diversity or equity, inclusion kinds of things are forced into their face. Certainly they don't like, you know, being preached to.
Abso-fucking-lutely, which is why I make these videos talking about everything just being fucking hammered on us, that it's offensive, that it needs to be politically correct, that we need to be better. Like that, when they say do better, you're better than this. No, fuck off.
But basically, these are not good products.
They're
and
not.
At the end of the day, it's not fun to play.
The
it
games
is not
suck.
Interesting. These characters don't sound real. That's what ends up happening. People just don't like it. They're not good stories. They're not.
The reviews, the fucking money lost, it speaks for itself at this point.
Memorable. So, to be honest with you, I saw this starting to come in the last few years of my time in the video game industry, and I'm glad that I sort of retired from video games.
That's how I feel about education when I was teaching high school level. So glad I got out before they started pushing all this critical race theory and crap down children's throats.
That's when I did, because I could see there might have been a few arguments, let's say, that I would be involved in coming down there.
This guy's
based.
One of
the questions people have around this, I think, and that I have, is why do they keep doing it? It's been a couple years now where these big projects have failed, and Disney's so guilty of this, they just keep hammering down and doubling down and tripling down.
Yeah.
Why do they keep pushing forward? Now, I've heard that the ESG money and the DEI money is running dry from investors. I've read about this. I've written about this. I've been told.
And yeah, they all are doing it for ESG and DEI money. They all get paid. It's almost like being a lobbyist. Disney is the fucking biggest guilty party of it. But some of these video game companies are just as guilty about it as well. If it's running dry, thank fucking God.
Hold this. What is the reason why these companies keep pushing forward with things like this? Are they afraid?
It's because it's a narrative. It's literally an agenda. They're being paid to push an agenda. But let's see what his answer is. Let's see what Mr. O'Donnell's answer is.
Of backlash? Are they afraid of money drying up? Do they just want to push forward ideologically? What's your take on that? Why do you think that, you know, against all odds seemingly, that some of these major studios and movies and gaming still
push
forward?
That's a really great question, by the way.
With
really great
DEI and all these different forms of it.
Well, you know, I can't say for certain what's in everybody's minds, but I know that when I was there, when I was talking to, you know, when I was on the board of directors, let's say at Bungie,
This is back at Bungie days, board of directors. So this is where the real juice comes, guys. I'm about back in the day, like as early as Halo 2 here. And this is, I'm calling Microsoft off on this. And this is disgusting, in my opinion, to cave in.
You know, talk to the higher ups at Microsoft. There is a lot of fear, and the fear started creeping in. There is fear that you are going to essentially get on the wrong side of some special interest groups.
And you know what's so funny is this is so similar. He's talking about back in the day, but this is so similar to what just happened with Black Myth Wukong and the alleged extortion scheme that Sweet Baby Inc. has against them, where they come in, these consulting firms, and they say, hey, your game's not politically correct. Give us money. We want $7 million. We'll help your game. And if you don't, we're going to make bad hit piece articles and get our Kotaku friends to write bad things about you. It's literally a scheme. And that's why these companies, executives, corporate suits, they get scared, because you literally have Sweet Baby Inc. people at GDC saying, go to these people's marketing teams, terrorize them, make them scared so you can get what you want. They literally are bullying people in all media, not just video games.
Who can be very loud and very annoying. So let's
super annoying
placate those people. So I would say fear is probably one of the biggest things. I don't think
definitely fear.
In my experience, that these are deeply held beliefs. You have to understand that, especially in the big companies, the C-suite and the executives, they are just constantly, all they're doing is looking at the bottom line. And if
that's true, which is so fucking funny when you see that Suicide Squad lost $200 million fucking dollars, even though they're looking at the bottom line. How bottom is this bottom fucking line? That's what I want to know.
I think something could affect the bottom line. I honestly think a lot of these people are empty suits. They don't actually have core values. So they adopt the core values of the moment to make sure they're on the right side. So they don't.
That is really fucking interesting, adopting the core values of the moment. So if you hear, you know, the term, the squeaky wheel squeaks the loudest. Sweet Baby Inc. and all these wokies are out here on Twitter crying, oh, these people are bigots and racist and all that. I guess executives have a fear about that, that they're on the wrong side of what this small little percentage. I don't know why people cave into that small percentage, but
you don't get any sort of backlash. And that's an indictment against the kinds of people who end up running companies. I understand that, but I've rarely found people with strong moral character running the company.
Same experience.
They tend to just be,
same experience.
They go the way the wind blows. And it's going to take them a little while to realize this is actually not helping their bottom line. And so
I cannot wait till companies like Disney, Warner Brothers and all them realize that it's not helping their bottom line. I cannot wait. Dear God.
There might be a few true believers out there, but it's few and far between, in my opinion. And it doesn't make sense. Almost nobody who ends up being at the top level of these entertainment companies actually ever made any entertainment. They aren't.
That's a true fact. They're not the artists. They're not the writers. They're not the people that are directing. They're literally sitting in a cushy office getting their name in the credits. Kathleen Kennedy, ring a fucking bell?
Actual directors. They're not artists. They're not musicians. They're not writers. They haven't created anything. They
fucking
might
facts.
Have come from marketing or have an MBA, or work their way up through, you know, up the production side of things where they're not really making
yep.
things. They're just overseeing the production side.
And that's funny how it always works in everything in life, right? The people at the top, they're the least hands-on. I don't know why, but that's just how it goes.
And so for some reason, I don't trust their judgment. They just don't have good judgment when it comes to this, and they have a lot of fear. So mm-hmm. I would say fear is the big driving factor.
Fear for sure.
Now, forgive me for not knowing, but is there a thing you can think of like 20 years ago where people were jumping on?
Here we go, guys.
Executives were jumping on
an example
thing. Like, we got to keep in stride with this. We got to keep up with this dominant narrative. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Huh. Well, I started seeing it a little bit even during our Halo 2, which goes back quite a ways. We were making Halo 2, you know, in 2002, 2003.
Over 20 years ago, guys, 2002, 2003 era, you started seeing corporate suits fearing being on the wrong side of things.
Which was close enough after 9/11. And if you know the story of Halo, it's about this, you know, group of religious zealots that essentially believe and will commit suicide in order to keep their religion going.
I guess you know what, that makes a lot of sense back then because this was fresh off of 9/11, like you said. But for a corporate company to cave in, I don't remember Islamophobia being that big of a deal because we didn't really have social media that back then. I mean, MySpace didn't become a thing till like what, 04?
I mean, that's the characters we had for the Covenant, and we that started making Microsoft a little bit nervous because they
pussies.
Felt like there was could be some backlash from the Muslim community in the Middle East that maybe.
Look, the thing is, though, Halo is in a fictional world with fictional characters, a lot of stuff. Even though you might relate to it in real life, it's not based off of anybody because it's a fictitious story. Don't you ever see like television shows and movie shows where it says the story's fictitious? Any resemblance to any real people or real situations is purely coincidental. They should have just said fuck you to anybody that would have tried to cancel Halo 2 over Islamophobia and shit.
This could be seen as, you know, Islamophobic. And so we had to be, all of a sudden we were being asked to be very careful about some names of people or references or phrases
yeah.
and things like that. So I started seeing that and I thought, well, that's not necessarily unreasonable because we weren't trying to do some sort of allegory.
Now, I will say this, if he said they weren't trying to do an allegory, if you're trying to keep it neutral and not try to make a political commentary or any activism with your game to kind of avoid the situation, I could see that. Okay, but once you start giving people an inch, they take a mile. If there was active groups actively trying to cancel them or firms like a Sweet Baby Inc. coming after them like we see today where a video game like Stellar Blade can't have a good-looking protagonist because it's too sexy and people are trying to cancel graffiti for the hard R in it, it's become very, very overwhelming now compared to that. Like, this is a reasonable situation. Sure, they caved in a little bit, But this was just the beginning of it. It started with this shit. It started with the changes that they did to Halo, and then it's going on till today, over 20 years later, and it's just overly exaggerated because it all adds up.
About the political situation, let's say, in the world that had to do with jihadists and all the rest of it. But I could see there was a point, you know the story, but one of our main characters, the Arbiter, was not the Arbiter. During the whole time we were making Halo 2, the character's name was, he was called the Dervish. And we had recorded all the voice, I had directed all the actors, and
so
everybody was using
the term Dervish.
Be forced
to change everything.
And then we found out that, like, this could be seen as an insult because there is a Islamic religious figure known as dervishes. And so we had to change it.
I think that's purely coincidental. But back in 03, 04, cancel culture wasn't as prevalent as it is today. But again, this is just an example of how far back this has gone. And compare this change to what we're seeing today with games. And you can see how important it is to rise up against people trying to bitch and complain about political correctness in video games. That's just my opinion. You can agree to disagree with it.
We were forced to change that name to a different name. So we came up with the Arbiter. I was never really happy about it. I thought, this is an artistic choice. This is what we had from the beginning. We were not trying to make any sort of political or religious comment. We had tons of religious imagery, the Ark, Halo.
Of course, you have the Ark, the Halo. It's okay to be offensive to Christianity, guys. Remember that. You can't piss off all the other religions. That's how it's always been, for whatever reason. Fuck Christianity, right? That's what it comes down to. Did Microsoft cave in? Yeah, I definitely wouldn't agree with changing it. I could see why they would, but they definitely caved in and caved in on specific religions because we can't have them pissed off.
The covenant, all these things are sort of religious, imbued with religious, terminology. So I didn't see why the dervish was a problem, but we were forced to change that. So I could see that there were going to be, the bigger the product, the more fingers would be in the pie trying to mess with things.
Yeah, I mean, ain't that the truth with what's going on today in gaming? The bigger the product, the more hands in the pie trying to mess with things. Whew. And yeah, I'm going to leave a link to that full interview down below so you guys can watch the beginning of it, the rest of it, because there's a lot of intelligent discourse here. But you got to think, 20 years ago, they were operating out of fear of being canceled. So that makes you think, how many companies today are actually operating out of fear still? How many people make decisions or don't make decisions because they're afraid of pissing off people like Sweet Baby Inc.? And getting hit pieces written about them. Like, how deep does this really go? How deep is this Gamergate 2.0? Who's really involved? I know some people try to say it's a hallucination, that it's just tinfoil hat conspiracies. But the more that you really sit down and look at it, the more you look at stories like the Black Myth Wukong story that's been going on, the more that you see Sweet Baby Inc. Detected getting attacked by Chris Kindred, the more that you see these guys pile up and try to, I guess, cyberbully people that go against the grain and go against the woke narrative, the more that it really seems like it's always been about cancel culture with these people for decades, at least since this young man, I say young man, but O'Donnell, who has been working for 20 years, and I say young man out of love. I always call people young man, even if they're old or not, call them handsome, whatever, slim if they're fat. You got to think, how long has this been going on? How long has Microsoft been placating to be scared? Do you think it's been going on? I feel like it has been. And not just with them, but like with Sony, Nintendo to an extent, Disney, of course. It's ridiculous how deep this truly can go. And that's why I'm tired of it. I'm tired of DEI coming in here. Why are executives embracing woke ideology? Why are they helping promote a DEI agenda? Whether people seem to think that is negativity or not, it's facts, guys. Look at everything that we're seeing every day. I've never, again, in my lifetime, since before 2024, I've seen so much of it being injected into our games daily, censorship in our video games, people just being nuts. People just being nuts. And then when you question it, when you say, hey, guys, this isn't normal to have this shoehorned and forced into things, you're the bad guy. You're the bigot. You're the racist one. You're the negative one. Or my new favorite, you're a grifter. You're a grifter because you're making videos about this content and you're catering to this lowest common denominator audience that is the Quartering and Melanie Mack and all these guys. You're targeting a bigoted audience, and that's the audience you want. It's like, okay, do I want them or do I want the audience that tries to cancel anybody that has a different opinion? The audience that doxes families, that contacts wives, that invades privacy, that, you know, just acts insufferable, that challenges people to fights, that physically threatens people with violence and wants people to have no safety and live in fear? Do I want that audience? Because, oh, they're accepting. They're the intolerant tolerant. No, I want true diversity. The diversity that you guys claim is natural and not forced in. Bullshit. Or else why would we have Sweet Baby Inc.? These guys, I don't know, I cannot fathom being on that side, being that unhinged, that clueless, that stupid to think that you're making a positive difference in the world of gaming by thinking the way that these people do. It's almost like, God, thank God I'm not like that. Thank God I'm not like anybody that's involved with Kotaku or the Friends of Kotaku or anybody like that, because my God, would I not enjoy my life at all? And I think that's what it is. I think these people don't enjoy their lives, which is why they have to be oppressed, which is why they have to feel like they're victims of stuff, and they have to constantly poke at people and try to just be terrible human beings online and try to, I guess, make companies live in fear, because if it's not our way, it can't be anyway, and you're going to get canceled. We're going to write hit pieces on you. So I saw this interview, and I just thought it was great, a great listen. Somebody that was a composer for numerous Halo games, including the first, second, third, InReach, and just detailing everything that he experienced with Microsoft executives. When they started to kind of stick their fingers in the pie and meddle with the franchise out of fear, pushing woke changes because they didn't want to be labeled Islamophobic, because people out there would cry if they didn't make changes. It's always criers that cry the loudest. Anyways, what do you guys think? Let me know your thoughts. Subscribe if you're brand new. Appreciate y'all.